Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Jetstream podcast. We're talking all about what happened against Jacksonville. We'll lead you into Denver. Jonas Schwartz alongside Willie Colon. We'll get to this version of Willie in just a second. Before we do that, though, let me just remind you, you can listen to the Jetstream every week by subscribing to the podcast. Just search for the Jetstream in the iPhone podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please make sure to rate and review the show. And yes, this hulking figure next to me, it's not the real Willie Colon. The real Willie Colon could not make it today. He's such a dedicated podcaster with us. We miss him. I need his presence next to me to talk about the Jets. So our production team made sure to give me the cardboard version of Willie, who will once again hulk over me like he does in real life right here. And obviously not going to chime in much, but we just needed his presence here in some way to talk about what happened with the Jets. 31-12 losers to the Jaguars on Sunday in a game that was really a very tough look for this team in a lot of facets. Todd Bowles, everybody understands right off the bat, the offense is going to be a work in progress. Sam Darnold's going to be up and down. That's part of the maturation of a rookie quarterback. And we're, by the way, we're going to talk about this with Ralph Acciano and Dan Orlovsky coming up in the show. Ralph, our NFL insider here at SNY, and Dan Orlovsky, who, of course, had an eight-year NFL career and breaks down all things quarterbacks for many different places, whether it be on the internet or TV. We look forward to hearing from both of these gentlemen. But before we do, the loss to the Jaguars, listen, everybody gets the offensive struggles. Everybody knew that was going to happen. The defensive struggles is the problem. The Jets giving up 500 yards of total offense for the first time in 10 years? That is hard to fathom with Todd Bowles in a position with this defense where they spent money on Tremaine Johnson. Avery Williamson comes in. Henry Anderson's been productive. Darren Lee's a first-round pick. Leonard Williams a first-round pick. Jordan Jenkins a third-round pick. We understand they don't have the edge pass rusher they'd like to have. It doesn't matter. This team has to learn how to cover crossing routes. They didn't do it at all. Dede Westbrook looked fantastic. Dante Moncrief burning them all over the place. Communication apparently was the issue. As you watched on Jets postgame live, Bart Scott, Willie Colon, Ray Lucas detailing it all for us. The communication had to be there. Jets had 10 days off. You cannot come into a game like that in that situation and come out that unprepared. Todd Bowles saying they were prepared, but for some reason it didn't get through to his team, and Bowles saying it's a big step back considering the fact they've at least been competitive in other games. And by the way, I'm never right. I've been right in my fear of the week the last 2 weeks. Against Cleveland, my fear was the Jets would be the first team to lose to the Browns in 600 days. And my fear last week was that they wouldn't be competitive against a very difficult Jaguars defense. Both came true. They're making me right. I don't want to be right. So, it's been a rough couple weeks for the Jets. Rough couple weeks for Sam Darnold. Todd Bowles has got to right this ship. He's got time to do it. But, boy, a lot of people are starting to look at him in a very critical fashion because his defense has to be better and the mistakes have to stop. If the mistakes happen with the quarterback, everybody can live with that. But it's the other stuff that's starting to really get the microscope on Todd Bowles. With that, let me bring in our SNY NFL insider, Ralph Vacciano. Nice enough to join us on the phone. Not the cardboard version of Ralph. The real version of Ralph on the phone. Ralph, when it comes to Todd Bowles at this point, obviously he's had a few years here. Still earlier in the year, as you wrote in a good column about a week or so ago on SNY.TV, nothing's happening with him now. He's got time to fix things. But the recurrence of the same issues and the fact that he's a defensive guy and can't get this defense going on a consistent basis, that has to be a major concern for anybody watching this team.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. And I think that while nobody in the organization is going to go on record and say it, they're certainly paying attention. They're evaluating Todd Bowles. And, there's a definite question, I think, as to whether Todd Bowles is going to be the coach going forward after this season. That's not to say his seat is hot. That's not to say, that he's definitely gone or that they don't like him a lot. They do, and I think they hope that he'd be the coach. But when you have losses like the one in Cleveland where, it looked a little bit like they weren't prepared and there were the penalties and the discipline issues, and then you see the same old issues against Jacksonville, these things add up. This is why whenever you ask anyone in the Jets organization about Todd Bowles, you get the list of the things that they're evaluating and what they're watching for. You don't get this defiant, hey, we just gave him a contract extension, he's our coach, back off. No, they're looking because they're trying to figure out, is he the right guy?
He had mentioned, obviously, the inability to cover the crossing routes against the Jaguars was startling to everybody. And he said it was startling to him. He said it wasn't the Jets. It was nothing the Jets were not prepared for. You've covered a lot of coaches in your time. When a coach is claims to have the players prepared and they're still not able to execute, not just because of skill, because mentally they just don't execute it, is that even more alarming than if they're not prepared?
Yeah, I guess it would probably reflect better on the players if they said, look, we didn't even practice those. Who knew they were going to run them? But obviously that wasn't the case. A lot of it, I think, is the players. There's no doubt about it. If a coach drills something into you during the week and says, watch for this, do this, and you don't do it, the coach can't get out there on the field and make you respond the way he wants. But it does go on the overall coaching staff when it continually happens. Because the bottom line of what a coach's job is, obviously he's got a scheme, he's got to motivate and all those things, but he has to find a way to reach the players. A lot of these guys, Trumaine Johnson just got a big contract. Jamal Adams is a top draft pick. Darren Lee's a top draft pick. They're not going anywhere. Todd Bowles has to find a way to reach them and make them do what they're supposed to do. And if it doesn't happen, inevitably it's going to come back on him.
Right. That's the point, right, is that, it's one thing to have people prepared in practice. What good is it if it doesn't translate into the game? And is that concern you then that maybe Bowles isn't quite reaching the defense the way he once did? Or as I said, it could just be one game instance, but when you hear players, Ralph, say, or you hear the coach says they knew about it, they were prepared, and yet they don't cover it at all, that makes me wonder if he's still reaching them.
Yeah, I mean, it concerns me. It doesn't alarm me yet because it's still early and there's still – this team is, it's young in spots and it's early in its rebuilding process. I don't think that any of us thought this was going to be a playoff team this year. I don't think it's like they have a bunch of veterans and none of them are paying attention to Todd Bowles. They seem to listen. They seem to like him. They seem to believe that he's the right coach. But you can't help but wonder if it's the beginning of a trend. And, they've gotten rid of a lot of players over the last couple of years that we thought maybe were the source of the problems and guys that had just tuned him out. And he had guys left behind that swore by him. But in the end, they're going to have to then do what he is telling them to do in order to prove that he really is the right guy going forward. So to me, it's just more of something that you have to watch over the next, 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, Ralph, because to exactly what you're saying, you talk to anybody in that locker room, on the record, off the record, they will swear by Todd Bowles, how much they respect him and how much they take him at his word and how he's a real stand-up guy. And so, with all that being said, wouldn't you assume, he looked at it as getting back to basic sort of week and everybody's got to look themselves in the mirror, which is what he said on the conference call on Monday. How crucial of a week is this for Bowles just in terms of getting things back on track here?
Well, it's big. It's big because, things don't get any easier for the Jets schedule-wise, and they are at a point where things can really spiral out of control. You get 5 weeks into the season, and you only got the one win. It's not reflecting well on anybody. Players can get down, on themselves. They can get down on each other. You just sort of want to have something to be able to say, look, what we're doing is working. Here's the proof. You just won a game. Let's not let this spiral into an early loss season, because you don't want any other things. I'm not saying there's any signs of locker room issues or player attitude issues or whatever right now. There certainly don't seem to be, but you don't want to put them in a situation where that stuff can happen. Because remember, this is all about the young quarterback and developing him and, finding a way to have growth at the end of the season. And if this just devolves into a mess where nobody's happy and effort is being questioned, that's not going to be easy on Sam Darnold. And he's kind of the key to all this. So I think Todd Bowles needs to figure out a way to get a handle on it right now.
And do you agree that's why so many, I think, Jet fans seem so unhappy with the way the last couple of weeks went? Because I think everybody understood the last couple of weeks of what you saw to Sam Darnold was expected. Even I think the most irrational, well, maybe not the most irrational, but many Jet fans, rational or irrational, understood there were going to be highs and lows with Sam Darnold. It's the output from the defense in the second half of Cleveland and then really the whole game. Well, they did fight towards the end of the game in Jacksonville, but really for 3 quarters in Jacksonville, they let the Jaguars and Blake Bortles do whatever they wanted. The defense is what's so alarming here.
Exactly. It should be, and I think it is with the fans, about the rest of this stuff. Because you step back, and we all got excited by Sam Darnold and the way the Jets played in the opener. It was thrilling. It gave everybody a little bit of extra hope. But the reality is, he was a 21-year-old rookie quarterback playing his first three games in 11 days. Things were going to happen. And then he comes off of that, and what's staring at him? The Jacksonville Jaguars, who are, you know, one of the best teams in the AFC. So all of this for him is expected, but you certainly hoped that the guys around him would do better. You didn't expect guys to melt down with discipline issues, to have untimely penalties. And as you mentioned, the defense, especially after it looked so good in the opener, you know, they're right now in a position with enough veterans and enough guys who've been around even for a couple of years that they should be the ones already coming of age. They should be the ones carrying the offense in Sam Darnold right now and saying, hey, kid, we got you. You know, let's you go out and do what you can do, but we're going to keep you in this game. And obviously, against the Jaguars, that didn't happen at all. It was a disastrous performance for them.
Let me ask you about, you know, you mentioned Tremaine Johnson, Darren Lee. Leonard Williams is another guy who did show up on the stat sheet this week. You know, we talked on the pregame show before Sunday about how, you know, there'd been all this discussion how Leonard is doing all these things that you're not seeing and he's freeing up other people. But you put it really well on the pregame show, which is they are paying him or going to be paying him, you think, to be an obvious impact player, not a hidden impact player. Did you see more of that from him on Sunday?
Yeah, I think I saw a little bit more from him. You know, he's still... He gets graded, I guess, on a curve a little bit because he's a top five draft pick, and he's a guy who is next year going to get $14.2 million. He's thought of as this potentially great player, and you just don't see him really taking over a game ever. You know, to me, Sunday was a good performance. If you get five, six more of those in a row, that's fantastic. He's exactly what you want. But, you know, at some point, you want to see him dominate a game. You want to see him really, really take over and do what, you know, J.J. Watt sometimes does for the Houston Texans. I think there's the potential there. But, you know, as much as he gives the hidden production and occupies the blockers and all that, you know, I think what I said on the pregame show and what Bart Scott said after that about how, you know, this is the guy who's got to get through the double teams and shed the blockers, not occupy him, I think all that is right. I think he's going to have to become a true impact player for a defense right now that I don't know who that true impact player is if it's not going to be him.
You covered Eli Manning when he broke in this league very closely. He had some ups and downs his rookie year. As we mentioned, we're seeing it with Darnold now. How much can you tell when you watch how Darnold's handling himself, you know, with some of the failures, and failure is too strong a word, but you know what I'm saying. You know, not everything's a cakewalk for him all of a sudden. How much can you learn about the character of this kid as you watch him go through these rough patches, as you did when you watched Eli?
I think you can learn a lot, and it's usually by, you know, what happens next. If there's a bad play, how does he respond? What's his body language like? What's the next throw like? You know, if there's a bad game, how does he come out in the next game? You know, I remember when Eli Manning, and it was in his rookie year, he would throw a terrible interception, and boy, you could see it when he walked back on the field that he was just down. And, you know, obviously he's not a guy who shows his emotion a lot, but there would be slumped shoulders and not a lot of energy, and you could tell in his next throw he wasn't so certain of where to go. I don't think I've really seen that with Darnold yet. I think he gets analytical. I think that, you know, he makes a bad play and it upsets him, but when he comes back out, he looks like he's coming back out for the first series of a game. His decisions still look, you know, decisive. It's not like he's hesitating on where to go, like, oh no, I don't want to throw it into this coverage. What am I looking for? And his head's moving all over the place. You don't see that. I think that calm, kind of professional, analytical demeanor will serve him well, because things are not going to go well at, you know, at a lot of points this season. And if he bounces back and learns from them, that's going to just mean wonders for his growth down the road.
All right, that calm, analytical mind that Ralph Vecchiano has just served us well. Ralph, thanks so much. Cardboard Willie says thank you. We appreciate you dropping the knowledge, as you always do. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
All right, so great stuff from our SNY NFL insider, Ralph Vecchiano, talking about where the Jets are with Todd Bowles and where he is right now, and also on the struggles of a young quarterback, as again, he had covered Eli Manning when he broke in, and now we're seeing a lot of it going on with Sam Darnold. When it comes to quarterbacks, there is no better source of information than the pride of Shelton, Connecticut. 8-year NFL career for the great Dan Orlovsky. You see him on ESPN. You see him on Twitter. He does a really good job breaking down quarterbacks. We're happy to have him back on the Jetstream podcast. Dan Willey's not here today. We have a cardboard version of him, so you're stuck just with me, but thanks for making the time.
Huh. Willie got the shaft, man, huh? Maybe more personality out of the cardboard or no?
No. Never get me to say that. I'll tell you that much.
No doubt, right?
Let's talk about where Darnold is right now. And obviously, we all knew there were going to be it was going to be a roller coaster ride. And we saw outside of one pass in Detroit, all the highs. And since then, we've seen some lows. When you look at him, we play a game every week. It's called Namath Nagel or Somewhere in Between. Since that's your polar opposite to Jets quarterbacks, I'm guessing you have him somewhere in between at this point?
Probably way closer to Namath than than some other people. Here's the thing. So, one, I loved him as I've been outspoken about him coming out of school. And all I've seen on tape is the exact reasons of why I loved him. Every game, there's a handful of plays that he makes that you cannot coach, that you just cannot coach out of a guy. And I'm not talking about like, wow, watch this guy run around all over the field and shed tacklers or whatnot. I'm talking about types of throws that you just have to have a feel to understand color and leverage to be able to make. Is he having the struggles or moments that I had anticipated? Absolutely. I also said going into the season, listen, there's just not a ton of help around him talent-wise. And that when you're playing against NFL defenses, that matters. And so some of those issues are starting to show themselves. Sometimes they're just a little outmanned. But I will say this. Every single game, he's one of the three best players on the field at any moment. And that has ringed true from game one all the way through game four.
Now, when you look at what's going on with him at this point, when you see what seems like a regression to people, but you're not seeing it. So explain to the casual fan who sees what they think is a regression from week one. What are you seeing that leads you to believe that it's all still there and, you know, he's not getting, you know, shaken up by some of the pressure that he's facing and all those sorts of things?
Yeah, no. So I would say the thing that we've seen from week one to week four is, so he early on showed a very good understanding and feel for blitz and pressure, and he was getting the ball out of his hands, and that's what the Jets were doing well against defenses. The pressure was not getting home to Sam. And when I'm talking pressure, I say teams are blitzing more than four people. Teams would blitz him, he would have an answer, good things would happen. What has really started to happen over the last six quarters is teams have started to watch their tape and go, okay, Darnold's got a pretty good feel for that stuff, and that's actually what they're doing best offensively, is countering the blitz. Mm-hmm. Let's not blitz. And now teams are starting to drop off and play a ton of coverage against him. And there's, I want to say 8 or 9 snaps the other game where there's 3 rushers against him. And that's so unique for a young quarterback to handle, because you always hear the term internal clock, right? And so your internal clock has set something for you to go, oh, this ball should get out of my hands. And it forces you to do something you don't need to do. Move the pocket, force a ball into coverage, try to escape when there's no need for it. And that's what kind of we've started to see over the past couple quarters, really 6 quarters, is like teams are starting to drop about 7, really 8 guys into coverage. And Sam needs to just learn patience. Sam needs to get a feel for that. Internal clock is a myth. There is no such thing. It's either you have feel pressure or you don't. Mm-hmm. And so trust that. So he needs to get some patience within some stuff. They also need to counter that a little bit by, you know, getting into some pass formations and popping runs. But that's the biggest thing right now, is Sam's just going through a process of learning that teams are going to drop into coverage a little bit more against him right now because he's handled the blitz so well, and he just needs to continue to be patient and take boring completions.
It's interesting you say that, because, you know, watching the game on Sundays with Ray Lucas, as I'm lucky to, he said he thought that, you know, Sam was feeling some ghosts, if you will, as you say, to your point, not patient, getting out of the pocket before he had to. But mm-hmm. My question to you is, while these other teams are dropping 8 back, sometimes they're getting pressure with a 3-man rush because the Jets' offensive line has had their struggles so far. So how can a quarterback trust that line when that line has had their struggles from time to time throughout this year already.
Yeah, I mean, Jonas, it's as simple as what you just said. There comes a time in every guy's career where you just, it's like you'll stand there willing to take the punch, and eventually you don't blink. And that's the thing. It just, whether you trust your line or not doesn't matter. Mm. You are going to stand in there and understand what the defense is doing against you schematically, and handle it accordingly. Now, every quarterback has a tweak of, okay, this team loves to blitz, or this defensive end's great, so I have to make sure that I'm conscious of that, or you know what, this defensive line isn't very good, or all right, my offensive line on the right side is really struggling right now. How do I help that? And that this takes a decade to manage. I mean, Tom Brady's the guy who's the greatest at it. Tom Brady doesn't he doesn't look at it and go, okay, my offensive line is not good. Tom Brady just plays.
Yeah.
And he's just very conscious of that stuff. It's not like it's part of his game plan, but he's just very conscious of understanding, okay, I'm playing the Jets, and this is back in the day against Rex Ryan, who loves the pressure, and that's the only thing he can do well against me, so I'm going to throw it to my first read. If not, the ball is going to get grounded. Mm-hmm. That's the best way for us to play that game. And so Sam is going to have to get to that point through reps and reps and reps of like, I don't really care what my offense is doing. I have to go attack the defense. My offensive line, they're going to do their job, and if they don't, my job is still to go attack that defense.
Let's talk about how he sort of has fallen in love with one option more than all the others. Is he targeting Quincy Enunwa much more than everybody else? And Quincy Enunwa has had a great start to the year. But is that a troubling trend? Or explain to people why that happens, to where he's looking so much in one direction and guys like Robbie Anderson have sort of fallen off.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very simple thing of like he looks at Quincy Enunwa and goes, I know that guy's going to be where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there, and if I throw the ball to him, there's a good chance it's going to get caught.
Yeah.
And it's quarterbacks think that way since they're 10. You know, we're on the schoolyard and playing invention. When I was a kid, I used to always throw it to the same kids too, because you just believe, you know, you want to look good. You want the ball to actually get completed. And so when you're looking around going, okay, who do I really believe that I can rely on getting open and catching this ball? Quincy Enunwa. It's also part of probably Jeremy Bates. And every coordinator, when they sit down on Sunday night or Monday to start developing your game plan, especially when you get into situational football of, okay, my first down calls, if I'm going to get, you know, completion plays, and then my third down or red zone situations, every coordinator starts with a guy. And then they go to their second guy, and then their third guy, and their fourth guy. And I promise you, Jeremy Bates is looking, when he is designing these plays, he's going, okay, where do I want this ball to start? All right, Quincy, I want that ball to start with Quincy. And then where's, okay, and the majority of his play calls, especially in those situations, the number one option's Quincy.
But don't you become predictable that way and hurt your quarterback? Listen, I get it. Quincy Newman's been great. But don't you have to spread it around a little bit to help your quarterback out?
Well, that's where, you know, that's the challenge for play callers and quarterbacks is, okay, how do I get the ball to my best player? How do we win?
Yeah.
Can we do both? And that's the challenge that you get faced with. And again, this is the reason why before the season, it was not this attack on the Jets' weapons. It was a reality going, okay, they're playing against NFL teams that got good players. And it's not against Robbie Anderson or Jermaine Kearse or whatever. But when you're looking at it and going, what weapons do we have? The best opportunity for us to win this football game is for this play to go through Quincy Enunwa, because you only get so many red zone shots and you only get so many third down situations. So it's a very fine line, Jonas. You're right. You don't want to hinder a quarterback, but that's the challenge of how do I do this and also win games. And that's why everyone needs to be conscious that there are going to be some struggles until you get the 5 or 6, 7 really good pieces around him.
You mentioned the play call. He keeps coming up. And Jeremy Bates, who everybody seemed very happy with coming in, but my question for you, is he doing enough to help a young quarterback with his play calling? You know, sometimes we've seen in the past, and every quarterback's different, some rollouts to get somebody, you know, he's obviously very comfortable throwing on the move, some rollouts to sort of simplify things. It doesn't seem as though, at least from the untrained eye that I have, that he's getting a lot of help in terms of the game plans of just simplifying things and making his life easier. Is that not correct?
Well, You know, that's here's the thing that everyone, when you get a young quarterback, everyone's like, simplify, simplify, simplify. But it goes back to that same point I just made.
Yeah.
You got to win games, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't live in New York, but I can guarantee you I know what the conversations are about the head coach. And so, you know, they haven't – there's been some moments where they just look unprepared in a way. And so you're not at the luxury of just going, okay, well, we have to do just is what's best for Sam Darnold in this exact moment. There's also the challenge of winning games. Now, I am surprised that they haven't utilized more of the movement game. That is such a foundational piece of this offense, and every time that I've been in it, it's been a big part, and Sam's so great at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even need the dominant run game that so many people think you do.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, I would imagine that as this season goes on, you'll see more and more of that. It's also a way to get guys like Robbie Anderson some shots down the field, or Jermaine Kearse more incorporated in that intermediate passing game. That's something that I do believe this offense needs to do, and is allow the movement game to be their really bread and butter.
Real quick, before I let you go, you still believe that Darnold's better off playing through this, or does he need a breather? The last week was the first week we heard some people saying, hey, maybe you can sit him down for a quarter or, you know, give him a break. You think he's better off? Does he learn more playing through it, or does he need to take a break?
You've already opened the book. Finish it. Let him go through it.
Yeah.
And I don't know the kid personally, but from what I do know of him and from I've heard people talk about him, he can handle this. It's going to be a rougher next 3 months. That's the truth. But you don't give up what you really want for what you want right now. And what you really want is Sam Darnold to be your guy for the next decade. And so you let him grow, and you grow by making mistakes.
No, that's a great point. Dan, thank you as always. We appreciate all the information. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you, buddy.
All right. The great Dan Orlovsky joining the Jetstream podcast. Just before we go here, as we're getting ready to sign off, let's just look ahead. Our week five situation here. Denver Broncos coming to town in a short week off of a tough loss to the Chiefs. And now they come on the road. So it's advantageous to the Jets, this whole situation. But, boy, they have Von Miller. They have a lot of talent, especially defensively. And I know Case Keenum missed some throws in the Monday nighter, but it's hard to see at this point how the Jets can slow down that Broncos defense. Patrick Mahomes was struggled for a half. He didn't struggle against anybody. Struggled a half against this defense. So it's hard to see the Jets coming out of this game with a win. I do think they get back to being competitive. I think the defense picks it up. I think Darnold will make some plays and struggle in other areas. I think the Jets have to get back to running the ball to take some pressure off of him. But I would say that the Broncos are going to win this one by a score of 24-13. But I think overall the Jets look much better in this game. And I'd like to get back to being wrong like I always am in life. As opposed to being right like I was the last couple of weeks. I'd like to get back to being wrong and have the Jets prove me wrong. Remember, subscribe to the podcast. Every week we are here, Cardboard Willie or Real Willie. And just search for the Jetstream in the iPhone podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcast. Please make sure to rate and review the show. We will be back next Tuesday with the Real Willie Colon, who in this spot would say, Jet up. Have a good one, everybody.